Just gonna wait and see. Don't tread on me. I won't sit back, stand idly by. Watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible. Don't tread on my guts. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Time has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea. Don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends, gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible. Don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Everybody, welcome back into the show. This is the second hour here on this Friday, July 3rd, 2026 edition history lesson with Pastor Chatfield. We're trying to add him into the show, having some technical difficulties. I apologize for the dead air, but we'll get him connected into the board here soon, and we'll be able to have a good conversation with him. Again, take this opportunity to go to the website, libertymountainusa.com, click on events, get your tickets. For tomorrow on the mountain, it is going to be a party, and you are invited. This is going to be a great event. Looking forward to it. Again, libertymountainusa.com is the website. Click on events. Go to Mark Farner's American Band, and you can get your tickets online until 5 p.m. tomorrow. The event starts at 6. You can camp, bring your tents, bring your travel trailers, bring your fifth wheels, bring whatever you guys want to camp with. Vicki and I are heading down there this afternoon to set up our little trailer. We're going to have it there this weekend. And, of course, back on Saturday, July 25th, 3 weeks from tomorrow, Ted Nugent, Rock Michigan Red, that's also on the website. LibertyMountainUSA.com. You can go there, click on events, and see that event 3 weeks from tomorrow, Saturday, July 25th. And we're having some technical difficulties for some reason. I'm not sure why, but Pastor Chatfield is not connecting into the studio. So we're going to get that resolved during the break. The North and South Poles of our American Revolution, John Adams and Thomas Jefferson. Those are the message information I got from them this morning about the history lesson discussion heading into 4th of July tomorrow. Wanted to make sure that he let me know what he was planning on. And again, we'll try one more time. If this works, great. If not, he's going to have to call me during the break. And then I'll reconnect back into the studio. Got a couple of people that texted me for the guys. Let's see. The team at Liberty Mountain really came together to make this happen. Ended up good. We're moving the show inside with the weather. It looks like there's going to be a lot of rain for tomorrow afternoon in the event that we are able to, let's see. Okay, it might end up being an indoor concert tomorrow. Fans are looking not good for the weather tomorrow afternoon. I just got this from Drew over at Priceline. We're going to move the event inside with the weather that potentially is going to be there. So the team at Liberty Mountain has really come together to make this happen well. We'll see how this works out. Private indoor concert, it appears. So we're excited. We'll see how many folks end up being there. And again, it looks like bad weather, so we're moving the event inside. Short break. We'll get Pastor Chatfield into the show. We'll be right back.
The Iron Pig on Old 27 South across from Otsego Lake is open for breakfast 7 days a week from 8 to 11. Sundays from 8 to 2 with a sumptuous breakfast buffet on the weekends. With golf season open, Iron Pig has room for any size golf group, or bring our delicious menu and legendary barbecue to your group. Either way, the Iron Pig has the team and location to make your up north dining experience truly memorable. Visit Iron Pig Smokehouse on Facebook, where we are always announcing new events and menu additions.
This July 4th, celebrate America's 250th birthday at the biggest party in mid-Michigan at Liberty Mountain USA in Farwell. Featuring Mark Farner's American Band, the Dave Mead Band, and more special guests. Sing along to classic hits, enjoy a spectacular fireworks finale, and camp on-site for the full weekend. Tickets start at just $15. Kids 12 and under are free. Don't miss it. Get your tickets now at libertymountainusa.com and click on events. Come join us and bring your friends.
Hey everybody, it's Trucker Randy, the Yo-Yo Diet King. I have literally lost hundreds of pounds in my life. SlimFast in the 90s, Nutrisystem in 2000, South Beach, Superfoods, they all worked in the short term, only to gain it all back, plus some. Now that I'm 65, I really wanted to find a program that would increase my metabolism to burn my belly fat, bring my hormones back to my younger days, without any exercising. Then I met Missy of MyPure Health Solutions. She explained how her program does exactly what I was looking for. Go to TruckerRandyHealth.com, follow my journey with Missy, and see that I dropped 22 pounds of body fat in the first 14 days without exercising and eating real foods. Again, go to TruckerRandyHealth.com and schedule a free consultation, or call Missy at 269-964-4044. Let Missy change your metabolism just like she's changed mine. Do it today.
Well, I'm sure by now y'all up here in northern Michigan have heard of Curtis Gunsmithing, the little gun shop over here off Picker Lake Road in Petoskey. Mr. Tom Curtis can fix any gun you put in front of him. The Gun Doctor is a certified gunsmith. You won't find one better in the north, and you sure as heck don't have to travel out of town to go see one. Get your quality gun work done right here in your town. Curtis Gunsmithing of Petoskey. Give Tom a call today at 231-838-5571. Come see the Gun Doctor.
This is Justin Michael. From day one, our campaign has been about one thing: people, the families, workers, veterans, small business owners, and communities that make Northern Michigan and the Upper Peninsula home. I'm running because too many people in Washington have forgotten who they serve. I've spent my life advocating for others, listening to their stories, and fighting for solutions that put people first. Our district deserves a representative who shows up, cares, and follows through on what they say they're going to do. It's time to start putting Americans first and Michigans first. Paid for by Justin Michael for Congress.
everybody. Welcome back into the show. I think we got our technical difficulties repaired. Joining us on the line right now is Pastor Rusty Chatfield. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. All right.
The North and South Poles of our American Revolution, John Adams and Thomas Jefferson.
Right. That's they're considered the North and South Pole because Adams was the primary person at the Second Continental Congress that argued for independence. Thomas and Adams was well-spoken, very educated, and aggressive in his advocacy for independence. Adams was from Massachusetts and talked a lot. Thomas Jefferson from Virginia, soft-spoken, did not say much at the Second Continental Congress, but the two of them were on the Committee of Five, which were commissioned to write the Declaration of Independence. The idea of they're the North and South Pole of our revolution, of our country, came from Benjamin Rush, who was also a signer of the Declaration of Independence. And he said this in 1809, at which time for 9 years, Jefferson and Adams were quarreling. They were bitter over the election of 1800. But Benjamin Rush was trying to get them to reconcile, and he was encouraging them to reconcile. Benjamin Rush said this. He said, "I consider you and him as the North and South Poles of the American Revolution. Some talked, some wrote, and some fought to promote and establish it. But you and Mr. Jefferson fought for all of us." And so they were considered the two thinkers, by Benjamin Rush anyway, of our Declaration of Independence and our country. And their lives intersected in many different ways, in many different places, and in many different ways. Okay, Adams was born October 30th, 1735, and Jefferson was born April 13th, 1743. So they were both signers, both born in this country. Adams was about 9 years older than Jefferson, but providentially, and I use the word providentially, they both died on the same day, the 50th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence, July 4th, 1826. When the country found out that Adams and Jefferson died on the same day, it was almost an affirmation that this was a special country. I mean, very special. They're considered co-authors of the Declaration of Independence. And remember this, Thomas Jefferson admitted openly that none of the ideas exactly in the Declaration were his. I mean, they were generally believed by everybody there that all men are created equal, that they're endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute a new government, laying its foundations on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. All agree that these were ideas, and some of the from John Locke, all the founders read John Locke, and the whole idea of that the basis of government is people who align with each other, and then they form a government. That is the foundational idea, that power starts with God to the people who form government, and let's obey the laws that we the people form. That That's what we believe. And we had the controversy in this country a few years ago. Oh, it's dangerous to believe that rights come from God. That is the very basis upon which the country was founded. Anybody would say such a thing. To me, it's unbelievable. But that is the way that is. All right. So both are considered founders, of course. Both are given a lot of credit for writing the Declaration of Independence. Jefferson, first and foremost, because he was the one that actually wrote it. And by the way, back in the day, it was John Adams said to Jefferson, you should write it. You should be the one that does the writing. One, you're from the South. Two, you're well-liked and I'm hated. And three, you're 10 times better writer than I am. In other words, it was important politically that Jefferson write it because he was from Virginia and we needed Southern support. And it was important that he would write it. And New England area, that was the hotbed of the Revolution. And there was overwhelming support for independence in New England, but not so much in the South, in the middle colonies. So it was important that Jefferson wrote it. Both of them served during the Revolution served as diplomats. Okay. Adams was in Britain and the Netherlands, Jefferson in France, and Adams for a time in France. They both were diplomats. They weren't in the country during the Revolution. They were committed to the Revolution and independence. And Adams was away from his family a long time, just long time. And I think it was 9 years, some long period of time. And he gave up a lot for his country, as did Jefferson. Both served in the George Washington administration. Thomas Jefferson was the Secretary of State. John Adams was the Vice President. Now, back in the day, in the first Washington administration, the Vice President didn't do much. He's supposed to preside over the Senate. And Adams went to every Senate meeting, because he didn't get a vote unless there was a tie, he felt like a useless person. He said, "There's never been invented in the history of mankind such useless a position as vice president." Now, over the decades, the centuries, the office of vice president has become pretty important, but not initially. What happened in this country initially? The Secretary of State was considered the most sought after, the most important position. It's kind of curious because as we come up to 2028, you can see something developing. The Vice President of the United States, J.D. Vance, and the Secretary of State of the United States, Marco Rubio, are the two leading people we look at. Who's going to be the next? Who will get the Republican nomination for president? Which position is more important? Initially, it was always thought that the Secretary of State was the most important. All right, so they both served under Washington, both active as diplomats during the Revolution, both very well educated. But there was some political differences. Both were for the independence and revolution. But once you start having to form a government, now how does that work? Where does the rubber meet the road here? Adams was for a stronger central government and a stronger executive. Jefferson was for more states' rights. Jefferson leaned more toward democracy. Adams leaned more toward federalism and or a Republican form of government. And by the way, these are arguments to this very day that we have. The Republican Party of today is now not so trusting in we the people. And I say that, and there's people say, "Oh, wait a minute, we the people." Well, we don't want a pure democracy. Adams did not want a pure democracy. He viewed a pure democracy and what was going on in France during the French Revolution in 1789 is very dangerous. He'd call it mob rule. But on the other hand, Jefferson was afraid of aristocracy. He was afraid of kings. He didn't like the king's idea. He wanted more power to the people. Jefferson said that a revolution is like a natural manure. The blood of a revolution is like a natural manure. You got to spill it sometimes. I mean, in other words, he thought that revolutions and blood being shed is necessary. Adams was not quite so sure of that. He was more in favor of a stable government and government being limited, but having enough power to maintain stability. Okay, and that was more important to Adams. So Adams was a part of the group that became the Federalist. Jefferson and his friend Madison were a group that became known as Republicans or the Democratic Republicans or even the Jeffersonians. And they leaned to more states' rights, leaned more toward democracy, less toward republicanism. After Adams served his one term in 1796, Jefferson said, Caldwell, the reign of witches is over. I mean, he was afraid of executive power. He was afraid of anything close to kingship. It is well known that when he would have a dinner party at the executive mansion at the White House, not called the White House yet, but he would come in slippers and very casual. And he wouldn't dress up. I mean, he thought, no, we're all kind of equal here. Whereas Washington and Adams and most presidents were, you know, a little more dignified. Kind of reminds me back in our day when Jimmy Carter showed up to a cabinet meeting in blue jeans once. I mean, he said, hey, it's a working meeting. Yeah, but, you know, we don't show up to cabinet meetings in blue jeans. That's kind of another the political philosophical differences between Jefferson and Adams, they're still around today. How much power to the people? I mean, here's a good question, Michigan. This is what we've got, and I don't think it's not good. In our state constitution, you can change the constitution of Michigan with a simple majority vote. That is too easy to change. That provides for too much, in my view, instability. It should be much more difficult to change the Constitution than a simple majority vote among the people. Because what that amounts to is anybody that has $1 billion and wants to change the Constitution and can pay for the advertisement can get people to vote for it. That is it's just really not a good idea.
Well, in the process itself, Pastor Chatfield, that same millionaire can pay circulators to collect the 600,000 signatures to put it on the ballot, and then, like you say, be able to spend the money to advertising, promoting it, getting people to vote for it.
That's it. That's true. And our United States Constitution is difficult to change by design. There's numerous ways it can be done. The only way it's actually ever been done was this: 2/3 majority vote. This is Article 5 of our Constitution, 2/3 majority vote of both houses of Congress, and then that approved by 3/4 of all state legislatures. I mean, it's difficult to change the Constitution, but it was designed to be difficult, not impossible.
Exactly.
But difficult.
Perfect spot for a break. Bomb the Hour news of hour number 2 here on this Friday, July 3rd. He's Pastor Jeff Field. I'm Chuck Arandy. We'll be right back.
This is...